Welcome. We are in Maseches Tainis, Daf Beis Amud Beis, two lines from the bottom. The Shita of Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Akiva Omer, B'shishi B'chag Hu Maskir. That in fact it is on the sixth day of Sukkot that we begin the reciting of Mashiv HaRuach U'morid HaGoshem. Why is it on the sixth day of Sukkot? Shenemar B'shishi, because it says when the Torah is describing the Karbonos of the sixth day of Sukkot, Unisacheha. It refers to the nisachim, the libations, in the plural. B'shnei nisuchin akosu medaber. There are two nisachim that the Torah refers to here. Echa nisach hamayim, ve'echa nisach hayayim. One is the libation of water, and the other is the libation of wine. So says the Gemara, just because the Torah formulates the nisachim in the plural, doesn't necessarily mean that there is an additional type of nisachim. How do you know that? Ve'ema tarvayu dechamra. Maybe they both refer to nisachim of wine. How do you know that the one that's being added here is the water? Says the Gemara, we know this very well, because Savarlak Rabbi Yehuda ben Beseira, Rabbi Akiva must agree to Rabbi Yehuda ben Beseira's statement, which we mentioned at the end of the previous shir, that Amar Remizi Maya, that went through the three different instances throughout the Karbonos of Sukkot, where the word Niskeyem and Nisacheha had an extra dimension to its formulation, and each one corresponded to a different letter of the word Mayim, alluding to the fact that Mayim plays a central role in the Avoda of Sukkot, alluding to Nisuch HaMayim. So, Sabar Lak Rabbi Yehuda ben Beseira, we know already from the tradition of Rabbi Yehuda ben Beseira, the Amar Remizi Maya, that we've introduced the notion that Mayim is part of this experience of Sukkot, and so therefore, the extra libation must be one of Mayim. So the Gemara says, Yisabar Lak Rabbi Yehuda ben Beseira, if Rabbi Akiva agrees to Rabbi Yehuda ben Beseira, Nema Kavase, then Rabbi Akiva should also agree to Rabbi Yehuda ben Beseira's assertion that that encoded allusion to Mayim, to Nisuch HaMayim of Mem Yud Mem, which commences on the second day, that's the first time we see the extra formulation emerge, and that therefore, says Rabbi Yehuda ben Beseira, that tells us that it's on the second day of Sukkot that we begin the world of Nisuch HaMayim. So says the Gemara, Rabbi Akiva should agree to that as well, and Rabbi Akiva does not, he holds that it begins on the sixth day. Says the Gemara, Neima Kavase Kosava Rabbi Akiva, ki Kosav Nisach Yaseira Bishishihu Dechsiv. Because Rabbi Akiva held that yes, the illusion of Mem Yud Mem substantiates that Nisach HaMayim is part of the Sukkot experience, but nevertheless, the extra formulation on the sixth day is the one that directs us to when exactly this extra libation begins, and that happens on the sixth day of Sukkot, and therefore, that's when we would begin Mashiv HaRuach U'morid HaGoshem. Tanya, we learned in a braisa, Rabbi Nosson Omer, Rabbi Nosson says, Bakodesh, in the Kodesh, Haseich Nesech Shechar LaHashem, that we pour over these Nesachim that are of Shechar, of wine to Hashem. B'shnei Nisuchin HaKosu Medaber. The Torah is speaking of two different Nesachim, Echa Nisuch HaMayim ve'Echa Nisuch HaYayim. One is Nisuch HaMayim and one is Nisuch HaYayim. Ema tarvayu dechamra. So perhaps both of them refer to wine. So the Gemara says, im kain, if that's true, lichtov kra, o haseich, haseich, o nesech, nesech. The Torah could have used a redundant lashon that is parallel, that is the same formulation for each word. My haseich nesech. Why would the Torah choose to emphasize these nesachim by using alternative formulations? Shmas minei, we learn from here, chad demaya, so they must be referring to two different substances. One refers to water, v'chad dechamra, and one refers to wine. Elohad itnan, so that concludes the Gemara's discussion. So then the Gemara says, Elohad itnan nisuch hamayim kol zayin mani. We have a statement of a Mishnah, that nisuch hamayim occurs kol zayin all 7 days, mani, whose opinion does that follow? I Rabbi Yoshua, if we wanted to say that followed the opinion of Rabbi Yoshua, Neimachad Yoma, then we would not say that Nisuch HaMayim takes place on all 7 days, because he seems to be of the opinion that we only begin this at the end, at the conclusion of Sukkot. At the conclusion of Sukkot, and there's a discussion in the Rishonim, how we are interpreting what that means for Rabbi Yoshua. Some Rishonim believe that means the end, meaning the last day of Sukkot, the seventh day of Sukkot. Some think that means the end, meaning after the last day of Sukkot, meaning the Shmini Atzeres. But nevertheless, Nisach HaMayim Kol Zayin, if that followed Rabbi Yoshua, the statement would refer to one day. E Rabbi Akiva, if it followed Rabbi Akiva, Trey Yomei, would refer to 2 days, because he says you only begin on the sixth day. E Rabbi Yehuda, if it first Rabbi Yehuda ben Beseira, Shisa Yomei, would refer to 6 days, because he begins on the second day. So who does this statement follow? It's very unclear. Who's the author of this Mishnah? So the Gemara says, La Olam Rabbi Yehuda ben Beseira. It is actually the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda ben Beseira. And he follows the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda of the Mishnah. Ditznan, because we learned in the Mishnah, Rabbi Yehuda Omer belug oyam minaseich kol shmona, that with a lug they would do the nisuch all 8 days. Umafik Rishon, and we know that he would remove the first day, because Rabbi Yehuda ben Beseira held, based on the Mayim, that the Mayim actually starts on the second day. Umaayel Shmini, and he actually added the 8th day. And therefore, you have a total of 7 days. Umayishno Rishon, and what's the reason why, according to Rabbi Yehuda ben Beseira, we don't also include the first day? Answers the Gemara, Umayishno Rishon Delo, what's the reason we don't include the first day? Dechiramizi Mayim Bisheni Huderamizi. Because the illusion of Mayim began with the second day. So the Gemara says, well, hold on. Shmini nami kirimizi mayim bishvi. So why are you including the 8th day? After all, the hint of mayim ended on the 7th day. So where did you... what is the source of including the 8th? So says the Gemara, Elo Rabbi Yoshua hi. So the Gemara abandons ascribing this statement in the Mishnah to Rabbi Yehuda and says, you know what? Maybe it's really following the shita of Rabbi Yoshua. V'nisuch ha-mayim kol shiva hilchasa gemiri lo. And the notion that nisuch ha-mayim is all 7 days, that's a halacha l'moshe mi-Sinai. Why then do we follow the shita? Well, why then does Rabbi Yehuda believe that we delay including the mashiv ruach umorid agoshem until the end of Sukkot? So that has to do with Rabbi Yoshua's concern that Mayim is a simen klola on Sukkot. So the Nisuch HaMayim itself begins from the beginning of Sukkot, but the actual mention of Mashiv HaRuach Umorid HaGoshem, that will not begin until the end of Sukkot. Taking into account the concern that water is a simen klola. The Amar Rabbi Ami, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, and the Gemara says that we have a makar for this, because Rav Ami would say in the name of Yochanan, Mishum Rav Nechunya Ish Bekas Beis Chorton, who said in the name of Rav Nechunya, who lived in the valley of Beis Chorton, Eser Netios, the din of Eser Netios, which is a halacha that relates to being allowed to plow a field in the month before Shemitah, even though generally we do not do that. But nevertheless, if there are Eser Netios in the space of one base saw, since we're concerned that it will be destroyed, we are permitted to plow that field, to work that field, in the 30 days before the Shemitah year. Arava, the din of Arava, which we will learn a little bit more about later, that the carrying the Aravos in the Beis HaMikdash on Sukkot, v'nisuch ha-mayim and nisuch ha-mayim halacha l'moshe mi-Sinai. All of these things are a halacha l'moshe mi-Sinai. It is asked often, what is the significance of nisuch ha-mayim in the context of the avoda and the Beis HaMikdash on Sukkot? We understand why we put wine on a mizbeach. Wine is a symbol of chashivos, of a drink that is of great prominence, great importance, socially, ritually, and so therefore we put it on the mizbeach to consecrate that which is most chashiv to us, even in a material sense, in the name of our avodas Hashem. But why would we place water, which seems like such a basic form of of substance and sustenance in the world and put that on the Mizbeach. It just, in contrast to the Yayin, it doesn't seem to have that level of Chashivos. And it's even further, we even further wonder when we look at our daf, at the Makar of Nisach HaMayim, and how closely related it is to the Makar of Nisach HaYayin. So how do we relate these two ideas together? So there are a number of different approaches in terms of what is the significance of placing the water on the Mizbeach. Some point out that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, when he created the world, separated the upper waters from the lower waters. And he promised the lower waters that they would have relevance to Klal Yisrael, they would have relevance to the world, and that would be through the mitzvah of Nisach HaMayim. And that part of Nisach HaMayim is to draw from the depths of the earth the water that exists there as well. Very often we live our lives and we think that we can only find meaning and purpose in that which is directly in front of us. That our capacity and our potential is defined by that which we could see, by that which we could relate to. The experience of Yom Noraim, of Elul, of Rosh Hashanah, of Yom Kippur, of Sukkot, leading up to these days of Nisach HaMayim, are days that reveal to us that our capacity and our potential is so much deeper. They are days that show us that we really, if we dig further and we reach down farther, that we could access reservoirs of spiritual energy and of passion and of dedication to Avodas Hashem that perhaps we did not think that we necessarily had. So part of Nisach HaMayim is to recognize that on that Mizbeach that symbolizes our Avodas Hashem doesn't only go the world of Yayin, the world of value that is revealed, the world of value that everyone can see and everyone can intuitively appreciate and understand, but also goes Mayim from the depths of the earth, the value that we don't necessarily always recognize, that has to sometimes be shoev, that has to be drawn out from the depths of the earth in order to be put on the Mizbeach. And we know that the Shitin, that the system of pipes that existed on the Mizbeach carried both the Yayin and the Mayim away from the Mizbeach in some sort of disposal system. We're told in the Gemara that the pipe for the Mayim was made slightly thinner than the pipe for the Yayin, so that even though the Yayin was thicker and the Mayim was thinner, they would both drain at the exact same pace. Perhaps also capturing that notion that there is a certain sense of equality that we're supposed to create here. That things that look and appear and are experienced as chashuv, so in the world of the revealed, so that clearly is part of our avoda to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but also the things that we don't always recognize and the things that we don't always appreciate that we can accomplish, that too has to share of equal footing in terms of our avodas Hashem. It's also pointed out, and we can see clearly from the Makaros in our Gemara, that Nisuch HaMayim is derived as a halacha l'Moshe Mi-Sinai. Fundamentally, this entire limud is really not common if we compare it to other mitzvos that the Gemara makes drushos for to extrapolate throughout Shas. This whole framework of Mayim, of Mem, Yud, Mem, and the illusions, and when they are, and when they fall, and when they begin, and when they end. And just the Gemara's sort of surrender at the end, that this whole thing is just a halacha l'Moshe Mi-Sinai. So it's pointed out that part of the avoda of Nisach HaMayim is bringing in the world of Torah Shebaal Peh, the world of Mesorah, into the world of Sukkos. Now we have to recognize that part of our religious lives don't only involve what we can see and what we can experience as revealed, but also the Mesorah, that which is beyond always the rational and is sort of enshrined in our traditions and in what we carry on from generation to generation. That part of the Avod in the Beis Hamikdash is simply Halacha L'Moshe Mi-Sinai. And we know that the Beis Hamikdash itself was a great point of conflict between different sects of Judaism, some of which embraced Torah Shebaal Peh and the Chachmei HaMesorah as core to its Jewish identity, and some of which believed that that was not at all part of authentic Judaism and relied only on the explicit statements in the Torah. And so therefore, Nisach HaMayim was one of those test cases. It was a sign and a symbol that we don't only relate to Torah, Torah Hashem, through that which is revealed clearly and explicitly, but that Torah Shebaal Peh, that which is behind it, that Mesorah is also so much a part of who we are as Ovdei Hashem and a part of what defines us as a community. Finally, Nisach HaMayim is also related to the concept of Simcha on Sukkos. that somehow Nisach HaMayim relates to this elevated status of joy, of happiness that we're supposed to experience on Yontif in general, and on Sukkos in particular. How does Nisach HaMayim relate to Simcha? So obviously we want rain, and rain certainly, if we have the sustenance we need, then that provides for a lifestyle that is more relaxed, more a feeling of being settled, a feeling of serenity, a feeling of simcha. But perhaps we could understand also that part of what Nisach HaMayim is trying to convey is that not only do we appreciate HaKadosh Baruch Hu's role in our life in the bigger elements, in the world of the Yayin, in the world of the Karbonos, in the world of the fire, of all these things of the Beis HaMikdash, but also in the world of Mayim. Mayim represents everything in between, the actual life force of living. So to speak, like when we talk about the mikvah, that embryonic experience of being completely surrounded by the origins of water, the notion of life itself, Mayim Chaim, of life itself. And when we recognize that ultimately everything comes from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we recognize that as much as we would like to take responsibility for every single thing that is going to happen to us, as much as we'd like to presume that we can calculate all of the different factors involved in our life and make choices and decisions that control our destiny in every detail, at the end of the day, we ultimately surrender to the notion that there's a HaKadosh Baruch Hu in the world and that He controls the world. And that truth and that justice, in certain ways, is the source of the greatest simcha. Because a person can really experience simcha when they begin to realize that at the end of the day, there's a Ribbono Shel Olam in the world, and they're not in control of what comes next. And that God is in the world, and everything that happens to us happens for a reason. And that reason, even if we don't fully understand, even if we don't fully comprehend, that reason is part of how we approach our relationship with the Kadosh Baruch Hu. Like the Gemara in Brachos says, that not only do we make brachos on good things that happen, like Atova Ameitiv, we make brachos on tragedies that occur. And the Gemara asks, then why does the Mishnah formulate a comparison between the two? It says, Kashem Shemavarach al Rakach Mavarach al Tov, the other way around. And the Gemara says, my Kashem, what is the comparison between the two? After all, we make two separate brachos. And the Gemara gives a very enigmatic answer. The Gemara says, L'kablinu b'simcha, that you should be able to accept them with joy, with simcha. And of course, that's very difficult to understand. In what way is accepting tragedy with simcha something that we can ever relate to, something that we could resonate with? So perhaps if we understand the Gemara that, no, it's not that you accept the tragedy b'simcha, it's that when you are able to make that bracha of Dayan HaEmes, even on things that happen that are difficult and that are tragic, so then l'kablinu b'simcha, then a person can live in a certain state of simcha. It doesn't mean you're happy when bad things happen. It means that you're able to live life with a certain degree of serenity and calm, because you know that ultimately everything that happens is in the hands of the Ribbono Shel Olam.